Let's all rise and say pledge allegiance.
Guys, what are we doing?
I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please remain standing. Reverend Winger will lead us in prayer.
Father in heaven, thank you so much for this beautiful day you've given us. Thank you for this community, for the citizens, for its leadership. Pray you'll just be with this meeting this evening, with the discussion and the decisions that will be made. Just guide you here, we pray in Jesus' name.
I want to recognize special guests here in the front row. What group are you with again? 219?
211.
211, thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilman McLaughlin?
Here.
Councilman Brown?
Here.
Mayor Vaughn?
Present. Presentation of a consent agenda. Any questions on that, Councilman?
Motion to approve.
Have a motion to have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Item 8A, Mr. O'Neill.
Alright. We got two attorneys here at the council table. One's a city attorney, she's been gone a long time ago, and Shane Vaughn. Neither one of them know the law, along with the city council members. We was all illegally used, approved to use Zipper, which is government property. It was used on the roads, government equipment, not private properties. Richmond County Club, that's government property, private property. Membership cost, just like with private libraries, they're called public libraries, public streets, private streets, public pools, private pools. And the thing is, government is meant to use their property on there. Now, go back to the First National Bank, where I go to. The governmental agreement we have with them, which I had a copy a long time ago, more or less, they're allowing you to use their property in return to maintaining their property. And because it was an agreement to let you use the property, and if you agreed to maintain the property, that property you can use it on. For example, Richard Moore used to be a governmental entity hospital. It's not, it's a private hospital. You can't use it there. The problem is, our council does not know, and elected officials do not know the difference between them. Under the law, I'll be calling Attorney General tomorrow, bring a taxpayer lawsuit before the contact Attorney General, and there's three types. There's court action, and then there's class action. We call a lawsuit. Taxpayer's action, which it refers to where both elected officials commit legal or unauthorized acts or of the public body, which is there. And the thing is, why are we illegally using property, not just that property, but employees of the city and everything else? We got roadways out here that need to be fixed. We haven't done that. That's your job to fix that. At the same time, taxpayer lawsuits go all the way back to the time of the 13th century, where in this country it's been back to civil war. But the problem we have in this here is the city council has violated Illinois State Supreme Court case law, which prohibits you from doing this. We're in federal government, and you cannot use government equipment. There's only a few situations where you can't. It's where it's a fire, or certain things like that, or you're allowed to have your employees come on the property and read meters and stuff like that. But you cannot use government equipment. Mr. Bond, I, and Mark Lambert took a pledge to Daily Mail and everybody that we would fix our roadways. In the structure, the roadways and everything had that fixed. Then, about a couple weeks ago, I met a guy. He called his motorcycle, drove into a hole, pothole down the road. He fell 15 miles an hour, cracked his head, scarred his head up. And I looked down, he had a little girl there. And so I realized Illinois State doesn't have, we call it wearing helmets, but you should put it on. The thing is, this potholes all around town, there's holes, things are not being fixed, and but you got the time to illegally go on golf course and use that there, but you don't got the time to use on your own public roadways, like your poster, and you all, and you're, this has been done illegally. And not just that, but the city attorney has admitted that it was off-city property. Was that city property? The councilman has admitted it was not city property. So he used knowingly, intentionally knew that it was illegal to do what he did.
Thank you, Brian. Item 9A. Larry, ordinance regarding rezoning of 1.5 acres off of Route 50 on Bear Street.
You have in your packet the minutes of Plan Commission meeting from October 7, 2013, as well as a proposed ordinance that was adopted with rezoned property located on Bear Street east of U.S. 50 from M1, which is Light Industrial District, to R1 Single Family Residence District. The petition was submitted by Ray and Gladys Markwell. Primary reason for petitioning the change was the possibility of selling this property to another individual for a single family residence. The Plan Commission heard the request, and after hearing the request, voted unanimously to recommend the change in the zoning as requested. There was no one in attendance at the meeting objecting, but Linda Hinn had received an objection from Mike Dahl regarding the zoning, turning it residential because it would intrude into a manufacturing district. The property is, where it's located to the west, it is residential. To the north, east, and south, it is zoned manufacturing, light manufacturing. And I believe we have someone here regarding the rezoning. I think the perhaps the potential purchasers, if I'm not mistaken.
Anybody here on this? Yes, sir.
Yeah, we are. Speaker of the county, he's driving the truck.
Anything you want to add to that?
No, Speaker.
All right. You're the proposed purchaser?
Yes.
You heard the discussion that you are going to be surrounded on three sides by M1 zoning.
Yeah.
You understand what can go into an M1 zoning area?
Yes, we got the whole space. They might build their place across the road someday.
Okay. Motion to approve.
Second.
Let's do a roll call on that.
Councilman McLaughlin?
Yes.
Councilman Brown?
Yes.
Mayor Vaughn?
Yes. Thank you. Item 9B, discussion of the Richland Country Club cart path work.
Larry, I know we've talked about this over the last week or so, but do you have anything new to add since you've researched on it?
Well, there is a constitution provision that states that the public funds, as well as property and credit, can be used only for public purposes. There's a number of statutory provisions that expands on what you would think ordinarily would be public purposes. And a good example is, and I'll use one example and then mention another one, is the TIF Act, which provides for the incremental tax money going into a fund, and then that fund, the money in that fund, can be used for a number of different things. Not only can it be used for public infrastructure, but it can be used to reimburse a property owner for the cost or some of the costs of rehabilitating the property, demolition, interest that they may incur on the construction or rehabilitation of the facilities. All those types of things are specifically items that are spent on the private property. And the Supreme Court held that that was constitutional, that it was a public purpose because you're eliminating blight, it's an economic development reason, and so forth. About a little over 2 years ago, the General Assembly passed a piece of legislation that gave municipalities really what counties already had, and that was the ability to appropriate and expend funds for economic development purposes. And it went on and it said, including without limitation, the making of grants to any other governmental entity or commercial enterprise. And in fact, last year we did that with a grant to a local industry, and we used that provision as the basis for the grant. And it goes on and says that it has to be deemed necessary or desirable for the promotion of economic development within the municipality. So it's for economic development purposes. With respect to the specific issue of the Richland Country Club, when the proposal was presented to the City Council and the City Council acted upon it, it wasn't done as this statute alludes to, for specifically for economic development purposes. I think if it had, it would have fallen under the broad statutory authority of that the city has, if the city determines that that is necessary and desirable for economic development purposes. Without that kind of statutory authority, or some other authority that grants or says that it's a public purpose to do that kind of work, it shouldn't be done without something else. So I think at this point, with simply approving it the way it was approved, I think that was improper, and I should have raised this particular provision to give the City Council the opportunity to address it from an economic development standpoint, as opposed to simply contracting it out.
So Larry, if it's not legal, can we just can we vote to rescind?
You can vote to rescind.
Is there any way for future use you can still check with the attorney
general
to get an opinion from him? I know it takes a while.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. For I know it takes a few months, so that way in case it ever comes up with another injury.
Larry, in those cases you're talking about, that was, I mean, in the case of the TIF, in the case of economic development, I mean, there you're talking about outright grants,
right, of
public funds for a private purpose.
That's right.
In this case, we're actually being reimbursed for the actual outlay of money. So there is no, it's not a grant, it's not a gift, it's we're actually doing work and getting paid for it.
Right. But it still, at least initially, falls into the appropriation or expenditure of funds, even though it may be reimbursed.
Well, based on that, can we just simply keep this machine doesn't leave the shed until you tell us it's okay for it to leave the shed. Let's, until you give us a conclusive answer on this particular issue.
Mayor, everyone knows I voted for it and I still support it. We can have a disagreement of whether or not it's, you know, the right thing to do or debate it all day. If it's plain and simple, if it's not legal, I don't want to do it. And I would prefer not to even have that vote hanging out there if we get something in a few months or 6 months saying that Attorney General or Larry finds someone else saying it's legal, we can bring it back to the table and then discuss it again. But I would make the motion to rescind the vote from last week with the new information that the work may not be legal to do.
I agree with Councilman Laughlin. I would second that motion.
To be clear, Larry, you're saying that the way that this work is not necessarily illegal, but the way it was proposed, it did not fit within one of those exceptions.
Right. It doesn't fall within the provisions of the the expenses for economic development, because there wasn't a specific finding that it was necessary and desirable.
Larry, can you quick explain the Attorney General's opinion, how that works? You submit something to her office,
right,
and they... I mean, how does it work?
Well, typically you submit it to the office, and you're requesting an opinion, and it's up to the Attorney General to determine whether they even provide an opinion. And it may be an advisory opinion, it may be an official opinion.
And this is done regularly? I mean...
It's done quite often, and many times from the state's attorney's offices in particular.
And that's something you pursue in this situation?
And it can be a state representative, state senator. It can come from a number of different sources.
It's something you're going to pursue on this, though?
Yes.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second to rescind the proposal.
Councilman Brown?
Yes.
Mayor Vaughn?
Yes.
Councilman McLaughlin?
So we're back to square one on that. Item.
We're going to have to excuse ourselves.
Thank
our
you.
Meeting time is over for Cub Scouts, so we need to get these guys on. So thank you for letting us join in and listen to you.
See you guys.
Bye.
9C. Affiliation with IECC regarding fire. Larry?
You have in your packet a letter from Brian Hart, who's the IECC concealed carry coordinator. Attached to that is an affiliation agreement proposed between the Board of Trustees of the IECC district and the City of Olney. This has to do with the use of the firing range in the building. There is an indemnification provision, and I've asked them, we did not get a response today, but I've asked for a couple of changes, including additional language in the indemnification of the city and some clarification in the first page. They are proposing to pay the city $100 for each course taught. Each course that we can see or carry is a 16-hour course. The courses would have to be scheduled with us in order not to conflict with other activities that occur there at the firing range, as well as the horse arena adjacent to it. Also provided is a sample of their certificate of insurance, which provides for an umbrella liability of $10 million. And then there's also a sample agreement, hold harmless and release agreement, that the participants would be signing, those who, the students that would be attending the course.
What change did you have on the affiliation agreement? Second paragraph?
Let's see.
Well, first of all, describing the course as a 16-hour course in the first paragraph. And the second paragraph, and also in the first paragraph, in the fifth line, adding at the scheduled dates and times, the way it's worded, they are permitted access to the city's property, but we want it limited to just those scheduled dates and times. And in the third paragraph, adding an additional language requiring that the board shall include the city as an additional insured on the board's general liability insurance policies for the concealed carry courses and provide certificates of insurance. There's nothing in the affiliation agreement that really spells out the insurance.
Larry, do you know who IECC is going to offer this course to? Is it just going to be open to the public?
Well, I think it's open to the public, but they would have to be registered as a student through OECC.
First, my comment on the agreement is the indemnification is for physical injury. And I would think you'd want to include any and all damage, whether physical or damage to property, to make it as all-encompassing as possible. And second, on the hold harmless agreement, could they not go ahead and include the city specifically in that hold harmless?
Yes, sir.
I didn't see the city's name actually named in that document.
It isn't named in that document, but that's something I could sure.
Okay. All right, so past that then, what are the rules right now for the use by the gun club or any other entity out there firing live ammunition during the week? Do we have any restrictions on it? Or is it just a matter of somebody scheduling it and going out and shooting off an egg?
It has to be scheduled. We have the sheriff's posse, the
police department, state police,
the sheriff's department is out there, and then the gun club. I don't know that there's seldom any others who are out there.
But when it was simply a police firing range, we had people out there target practicing. Rare. With the gun club, now we have it regular. Right. And if we start teaching courses out there, we're going to have it constant. And my point is, I'm not in favor of this unless there are very strict restrictions on the times and places, or not places, the times that this can occur. And that is out of deference to folks that live in that area. And also the fact that the city's got to coordinate this with the Saddle Club, 4-H, and several other entities that are all competing for the use of that same facility. And so as it sits, I'm not opposed to the idea, but I'm not going to vote for it until we have a specific idea from the council when this is going to occur. What days of the week or what hours of the day. As it's written, they could actually come in and say, well, we're going to do it on Wednesday night. Or we're going to do it on Saturday afternoon. Or we're going to do it in the middle of the week. And I think we need to have a definitive date and time that we're going to allow entities other than the police department out there shooting guns. That's the discussion that we should be having. Instead of just opening it up and saying, do it whenever you want, we need to be telling them when they can schedule it and make the decision accordingly. Comments?
I agree with that. I mean, I am 100% for allowing IECC and, you know, even discussing the possibility of other groups to offer the concealed carry courses out there. As someone myself who was planning on getting a concealed carry license, I'm all for it. But I do agree, Ray, with you that, I mean, we have to have some type of schedule down, you know. But that shouldn't be real hard to come. I mean, do you have any idea from IECC how often, I mean, are they planning once a week, twice a month, to offer the courses, I mean, every weekend? Or, you know. And I'm guessing there'll be a, once all the paperwork with the state and everything is done, I'm guessing that there'll be a big rush of people applying to get their concealed carry permit, and then after a year or so, that will kind of slowly start to back off a little bit.
Classes are starting. Classes can be taught now. And I don't think you can actually apply for the permit until January. I have no idea how many courses. I only know of one for sure that the IECC is really talking about, but it could be others as well.
So this is going to be an ongoing thing. This could be a one-time course. Not today.
He has not indicated how many at all. And we have others, at least one other, I think two individuals working together that are interested in doing the same thing. And there may be others who want to try to provide those kind of classes. So I think it does have to be controlled.
Is there any way at the next meeting we can have this guy come so we can ask him what their plans are?
Mm-hmm. Let me ask, Lynn, how often does the gun club have shoots or live fire exercises?
We shoot basically two times a month, sometimes three, but there's in the winter time, it's on a Saturday morning from 8, so from 9 to 11, and during the summertime, it's Thursday evening from 6 to 8. It's like every other Thursday, or first and third, like that.
And so you have a regular schedule?
Yes.
The police or the sheriff's department, they need to use this. They still come over and tell us that you're going to be out there, mm-hmm. so that we can.
Yeah, they'll call.
But again, I mean, that in my mind, that ought to be the priority. Police can do it whenever they want, and they should have first preference. The gun club has a regular schedule, and then these folks, they come last, but. Again, we need to tell them specifically what days, what hours, or let them tell us what days and hours they want, but we have veto power over that because the police come first, and the gun club has established their right out there as second. But what I don't want to see is, you know, is we're having five classes a week, and we're having live fire going on every evening during dinner time, and we're going to start getting a lot of phone calls from folks who live in that area. And back to we need to control it. So I will echo John's statement. I'm in favor of it, provided that we can come up with a schedule that is mutually and with those suggested changes to the identification and the hold harness. And I don't know if they have to be here, Larry, as long as you can talk to them and they can give us more detail about. And I'll defer to you on that. You've got so many different folks out there competing for the same spot. I would be more in favor if they said we need one day a month or one day every 2 weeks. And it would be this particular time, and we can float that out there as the proposal. But it's not going to be every night, it's not going to be every other night, it's just going to be during specified times. That sound fair? And if they can get back to us with that and use it. Courts and, you know, I guess the 4-H and the South, a lot of people need to be part of that discussion. All right, so that's tabled for the time being. All right. And you say you have other applications also?
What we have is an individual contact in Melinda who's expressed a similar interest.
Okay.
And they are certified trainers for this same course. So I think the question is ultimately going to be how many times a month? Maybe it's only one time a month or something like that would be offered. I would think typically on 2 days in a row, but I guess it perhaps doesn't have to be 2 days in a row.
It's, I don't know if it has to be in a row, but it is 2 full days. Yeah,
and is it? And how much of that time is actually spent on the range?
One day, the second day, basically. And we completed our course Saturday, and Sunday we completed it yesterday. The first day was all in classroom. The second day, depending on the size of the class, it's like 31 people. We broke it up into two groups. We had two instructors. Group A stayed in the classroom that morning. Group B went out and qualified and shot. They reversed it, and Group B came in the classroom. Group A went out and shot that afternoon. We finished it by 4:30. So 16 hours at our break, an hour break for lunch.
All right. Anything else on that? Right? Okay. 9E, sale of personal property. All right.
You have in your packet a proposed ordinance that would authorize the disposal of some used metal culverts and also 100 used traffic signs. These would be recycled in a 1993 Nissan carry-all that would be sold on GovDeals if this ordinance is approved.
Motion to approve that request. Second.
Motion to second. All in favor?
Aye.
Pumping Street, I'm sorry, North Street Pumping Station Project. All right.
You may recall that perhaps a couple of months ago, the City Council passed an initial resolution regarding the Ohio Street Pumping Station Project. There still remains another ordinance that would actually authorize the execution of the loan documents, as well as some other things that need to be submitted to EPA. But EPA is encouraging us to go ahead and go out for bids. The bidding process lasts 45 days. The bids would be held for up to 60 days. And during that time frame, some of the other things we need to be doing can be done, and yet we get the process rolling. And at this time, the interest rate is just under 2%, a little bit less than what we originally thought. Before we went ahead and did it, I wanted to bring it to the City Council to see if the City Council is prepared to go ahead and just go out for bids and begin that process.
That we have a time frame then, that the bids can't lay out there for 6 months.
No, they can lay out for 60 days or so.
And if we're not ready to proceed, we start over again?
We would bid it again if we're not ready.
The only cost we're going to have is the publication in the paper?
Publication in the paper and probably just the cost of preparing the bid specifications.
All right. Any other discussion on that?
Is that in a motion?
As long as it's the consensus of the City Council, if there's major objections, then
I'm in favor. Sounds good.
All right. We'll just go ahead and proceed.
Okay, now for the big stuff. We got a swing set at the city park. The swing set. This is the big swing set, right?
Well, that's the big swing set, yes.
So we have the new equipment that we're wanting to install. The proposal, the original proposal was to do away with the historic swing set out there.
Actually, I think that was the second proposal. I think the original proposal was for that swing set to stay. The first time we discussed what to buy, that swing set was drawn in to stay, I believe. Going back a few years.
Oh, maybe going back a year or so, or when we did the grant.
And then it changed.
So right now the swing set is a powerful proposal.
But it's up to the city council.
We have...
We're basically, for all practical purposes, replacing virtually everything in both Kittyland and in the deal. The area for the larger kids. The swing set is... goes east and west, and it's in the area where some of the part of the Christmas light display with the choreographed lights and so forth is located, and is right in that area. And during the Christmas light display, because of those lights, that swing set is pretty much unusable, I think, because of the Christmas lights. But if the city council wants to leave it there, we can leave it.
So are we trying to get rid of it for liability reasons? Or are we trying to get rid of it because it's in the way of the Christmas lights during
I think mostly the potential liability. It doesn't, although it's been there, it doesn't meet current standards. If we wanted to put one up like that now, you couldn't find them. Because it exceeds the 8-foot height that are the standards now.
And so if I understand you correctly from the past conversations, the city's not obligated to take it down, even though it doesn't meet the current standards.
Have to. We don't have to take it down.
I assume we have other things that don't meet the current standards.
I think there are some things there that don't, that are probably coming out. I think by the time all of the new equipment is in, that probably will be the only one that doesn't meet the standards.
In that section. The reason I originally brought it up, Mayor, is because I believe we had a discussion originally that it was supposed to stay and then it disappeared under the plans. And I mean, I would like to keep it, but it's not a big deal. Everybody wants to get rid of it. Okay. You know, my thing is, I like it. I don't want it to go either, but it's a swing set, so I'll prefer it.
I was at the fall festival, and that swing set was fully occupied
the entire day.
Here you go, Larry.
Swing set series.
In fact, I asked the Cub Scouts here earlier, and they were all in favor of keeping the swing set. As far as the Christmas light display, I think you'd take the swing set out of service until the Christmas lights are taken down, so we don't have any. Or could it, whatever you do to disable it for the month of November, December, but it'd be new and improved when it comes back in the spring. So, do you need? Anything other than that?
No.
That's fine. Okay. We need to call Barb or Bob and get their input on this?
I think we've got three.
All right. So far. 9H, discussion, Salvation Army placing a pod storage unit on the city parking lot. For 60 days, correct?
That's correct. We had a request because of some roofing work that has to be done, and they need to relocate or store some items. They've requested permission to place an 8x20
pod storage unit on the parking lot behind the Salvation Army for up to 60 days. This would basically occupy one parking place.
I don't have any problem with it.
Neither.
That's good. And then discussion regarding Musgrove Park. Joe?
Last month, Roger brought up to us about running the, adding a culvert under the Musgrove Lane so that they could run piping to the new retention area there. At the time, he discussed turning Musgrove Lane to 24 feet wide, just basically to the end of where the new parking lot is. He said it was while we're going to rip that up to put the pipe in the culvert. Anyway, it'd be the time to do it. Mayor, I think you wanted to wait till my group met and kind of started discussing the long-term plan. We did meet last Thursday. There was someone there from almost all the sports, football, baseball, soccer, swimming, tennis, RCRC, Citizens for Greener Only, Richland County Athletic Group, the men's and ladies softball out there. So almost all the sports leagues in town had their president of their group or someone who's heavily involved there. We are working on getting that whole new comprehensive master plan for Musgrove done. Roger's actually mapping some things out for us now. But I think it was the consensus of whichever way we do that plan, that part of that Musgrove Lane will need to be widened anyway, just for the flow into and out of those parking lots. That 9-foot drive there is not very safe for cars going in and out of Silver. So with that, Roger still needs to get that pipe into that retention pond, as I think it rained a real heavy last Saturday and had 3 inches. I don't think any of that water went into that retention area, because the pipes aren't installed yet. So, and I don't have the original thing that Roger gave us last week or 3 weeks ago. But
the money we had left over. We had left over from another contract.
I believe that there's still money left over from $50,000.
We still have money left over from the original amount that we transferred to the Musgrove retention pond, a retention area project. It is the intent to get the culvert in and do the apron basically there at the intersection? Or are you talking about going ahead and doing the drive as well? And ultimately it will need to be.
I would say yes, up to the end of the new parking lot here.
To the end of the east end of the new parking lot.
Yes. Okay. That was Roger's recommendation, because if he has to do the apron there at the end anyway, might as well just go ahead and do it. Especially while it's warm, the zipper's not so we used at the country club here in the next couple of weeks, so it's got nothing to do. It's probably going to have to be done before next baseball season anyway, just for flow into and out of those parking lots. And Roger said, I believe the 24 feet won't affect the trees going up both sides of the lane there.
Well, it will eventually, because you'll cut into those roots. Did you discuss making that flow one way, come in the parking lot one end and go out the other, so you don't have two-way traffic going all directions?
You mean through the whole parking lot itself?
Yep.
No. Not yet.
Is that the current map that you're working on?
No, that's the... That was the one that was proposed with the two parking lots.
Okay. So right now we're talking about putting a letting Roger cut under the drive to put in the storm sewer piping.
Yes.
And while he's at it, put in a new culvert there on Silver Street to allow a much larger intercurve.
Yes. And I believe they had talked about just zipping that up and not and just kind of putting gravel down on that road.
But we haven't, we won't be committing to anything past that until we have the master plan fully approved by everybody.
And so far with the master plan, and again, very early stages, but talking to all the sports groups, what we have mapped, that drive will stop there anyway. If there's no plan on bringing that all the way through the park.
So the problem is you cut off two of the ball fields. That's the main problem.
Yes. And you run a lot of, if you had a third street there, that's a lot of traffic going close to those ball fields where there's a lot of kids running around. I mean, that was the problem with that. But like I said, either way.
Because Roger had it out, basically drawn here. So you can get in the parking lot and just want to get out this way. So he's basically proposing 24 feet drive here. So that if you did have two lanes, right now if someone's pulling in and someone's pulling out, it's like everyone just sits there and kind of figures out what to do.
Yep. But at least with 24 feet, you can have a car pull in, a car pull out at the same time if need be.
Because you're also going to have the cars coming from the other side, too.
Yeah. But the pipe has to, I think, according to Roger, needs to be put in the ground probably sooner. I guess you can wait, but...
Well, I think the sooner we do it and finish the detention project,
that grass is coming in nice. Okay, we need a motion on that.
Yes, we do.
I'll make a motion that we... You got all that here, I need to say it. Extend the at the culvert under Musgrove Lane, extend it to 24 feet going to the east end of the new parking lot, and to run the pipe out to the new detention areas.
That's the motion, Brad.
Including the apron.
Including the apron on Silver there with it.
On second.
Motion and second. Roll call, please.
Mayor Vaughn.
Yes.
Councilman McLaughlin.
Yes.
Councilman Brown.
Yes.
Okay, Larry, you got a status report?
Yes, I mentioned a couple of things. Since the last city council meeting, there was a an opening of bids for the electric aggregation, and this is actually for the period beginning around June of 2014 for a two-year period. There were three bidders. The overall low bidder was Home Field Energy, which is the current supplier for electric aggregation here with the city. The bid for the electric aggregation for the city, which has no renewable energy involved, is 0.0458. This will begin next June. Currently, the rate is 0.04009. So the difference is 0.00571. The rates are anticipated to be going up. This rate is still lower than Ameren's current rates right now and will be even lower for the winter rates. Their rates
change either next May or next June. But everybody and all of the bids were at that point or even higher.
So we're locking in a rate 8 months and 9 months in advance, locking it in for 2 years.
Right.
And all of the proposals were higher than what we're paying now. And the default is if home field's rate actually exceeds that, if Ameren's rate gets cheaper, we can go back to Ameren at any time.
Right, either Home Field Energy has to offer it at that same, at Ameren's rate, or we go back to Ameren.
Okay.
So there is the protection there for that.
And we authorized the signing of that, did we not?
Okay. We received a phone call, and Belinda has been in contact with an individual from Mattoon, I believe. The company is called Baby Huey's Recycling and Sons in Mattoon. They provide a service in a number of communities, and what they do is they will come into a community once a month on a recycling day, whatever is designated, and they will collect electronics, appliances, TVs, computer monitors, batteries, tires. You'll bring in a 27-foot trailer and set it up wherever you want him to for about 5 hours. There's no charge to the city, but the city will be paid 2 cents per pound for everything that's collected except TVs, monitors, and tires. There is a fee, a donation, if you will, for TVs, monitors, and tires, $5 for TVs and the monitors, I believe, and $4 for each tire because of the cost, some of the cost he has to dispose of those. The only thing the city would be responsible for is advertising the event and providing a location. He does this for about 190 towns. Belinda's been in contact with the 4-H recycling program, suggesting maybe that's something they might want to do in conjunction with their recycling, and then they would get the money. But they haven't made a decision yet. Unless you object, we're proposing to try it out by having him come the first Saturday in November, which is the typical recycling for 4-H, and have him set up at the parking lot at Butler and Fair and give people the opportunity to get rid of their appliances and TVs and so forth. They'll have to pay for some of those, but I think it would be something that we could provide, and we can do a little bit of advertising and see how it goes, try it out. And if the 4-H clubs want to take take it over, they could do that as well.
Well, the Clean Green folks have done this, Morgan?
Two or three times.
Similar type of event. You got volunteers, and you took all this stuff, including motor oil and
tires, small appliances.
Anybody going to be upset if the city?
No, actually, we aren't doing it anymore. So, we kind of quit doing it when secure processors moved or when they opened up, just because we didn't really have that much need anymore to do it. So we kind of quit doing it, but. No, I think they would welcome it. I think the community, because it was always a big event.
Yeah, but, are they going to have people down here?
Yes.
So they will supervise their own operation.
Right.
And we just have to advertise it.
Right.
Well, based on all that, I'm in favor of it.
I think it's something that's worth a try.
I agree, that's a good idea.
I I do have one comment.
Sure.
The only problem I see is that one problem we have with it is when the event is over, people continue dropping off even the next day. So somehow that's going to have to be policed, otherwise you're going to end up with 65 tires that you, as a city, have to pay to get rid of. So that's the only problem that we ever had with the event, is the continuing of dropping off even after it was over.
One thought taken. Yes, Lynn?
I believe Marathon Tire will accept passenger car tires for $3 from anybody. I don't believe you have to have your tires purchased there. You can just take a tire out, pay $3.
Yeah, that's where we took them after the event. Is they took them. We took donations for the tires and then we collected them.
Well, and since the Salvation Army will be putting a pod over there, what else you got there?
Well, I wanted to mention that at the last city council meeting, we talked about the Whittle Avenue and Elm Street lights. They are working. It was simply a matter of a switch, a breaker getting thrown because of a power surge or something. So we will monitor it. My concern is at some point something's going to happen and it may be more expensive than it's worth. Because they are old. Fortunately, with flashing lights, maybe there's less to go wrong than the red, yellow, green situation. But anyway, they're working now.
Okay.
I wanted to mention, I think at the last city council meeting, we talked about the dirt at Musgrove Park. I think there's, I'm trying to find out the needs that we have, and we may have a need for all of that dirt, and rather than selling it and then trying to buy dirt somewhere, I'm going to make sure that we don't. If we're going to sell it, it needs to be something we don't need to be using for some of the projects that we have. So we may be coming back and asking to sell some of it, but I want to make sure that we don't need it.
Larry, what's the timeline on getting that dirt?
I'm hoping we can start hauling it out as long as weather permits, we'll be hauling it out. It's going to take a lot of truckloads.
What's the Joint Review Board?
The Joint Review Board is the board that's established. It's made up of, I believe, six taxing bodies that meets typically once a year at the end of October after the TIF reports have been filed with the state comptroller. The Joint Review Board meets, and we have one scheduled for the 29th of October at 4:30 to review the status of the TIF districts and the report that is submitted. I believe Bob Ferguson has been the representative, but it can be anybody on the city council to represent the city, and I guess it doesn't necessarily have to be on the city council, but typically has been. There are other representatives that will be from the college district, the township, the county, the school district.
I read through the last year, it was actually Gary Foster that was there. That's what the minutes say.
So you think Bob has served in that capacity in the past?
No, I was thinking
he did. I thought he did. I was thinking maybe he wasn't available and Gary went, maybe.
That could be.
Well, I've got it on my calendar, so if Bob doesn't want to do it, I'll be glad to fill in. But let's just verify with Bob that he's been. All right, I had a couple things. We talked about insurance for our pension board members. Have you got any more detail on that?
No, we did not. We have some information, but we don't have all the information from all the brokers at this point.
something that occurred to me, we're talking about a difference between a $10,000 or a $25,000 deductible. Is it possible for the city to indemnify for that deductible amount so that these board members have no personal exposure? And we could go with a higher deductible.
I think the city can. And I believe that, in all likelihood, if the city doesn't, then the pension board itself would be providing the deductible.
Okay, and then I have one more thing. We have talked in the past about roads and the prioritizing of roads, and I'm sure the road department, street department, has a master list that they're going off of. What I would like to have by next meeting is that list for the roads that the street department has listed for, let's say, the next 3 years. And I know that's not in, that's not the final list, but that's the list that they're going off of. And what I would like to do is we get that list and we publish it in a form that so everybody out there in the community can see what the plan is, and that opens up then the discussion about what roads should be or should not be on the list. But at least we have a list to go from.
Can we take that even a step further as far as the 3 year plan? If we're going to start having a discussion and talking about roads, plans long term, having that plan, that's great. We need it, but there are also some roads, bigger roads, I would say, south Little, south of 50, the road out by the elementary school, Main Street, that are going to be longer term roads, high dollar roads. I, besides that, would also like to see if we had one, and maybe not by next meeting, but eventually a long-term plan or a list of those high dollar big ticket roads that, you know, South Whittle, eventually the road by elementary school, I mean, since I moved here 6 years ago, everyone talks about those roads needing repair. Well, I don't see any money set aside to repair those roads. And if we would have been planning for that, you know, 20 years ago, we may have some money today to do them.
So it's not just the oil and chip program, but the road network. Mm-hmm. That is, and I know there's been discussions in the council in the past about using MFT funds for North East Street. That was the road that was going to be the big project in a year or two, right?
Right. We have a certain amount of money that's allocated on the STU funds, and we have to do some matching. That's the size of project that you can do.
So combining things. What John and I are talking about is, what's the road map for the next 3 to 5 years from our street department? And I'm not asking that it's ironclad. I'm asking, this is what the plan is. Let us see it. Let us share it. And let's get some discussion going so we can keep everybody in the loop and tweak the plan as we need to going forward. But at least we have a plan. And I'm sure they've got a plan. I'm just not privy to it. I'm not, and I'm not wanting to get into voting on which road goes in, which road goes out, but I want to see the plan.
Okay. Larry, to your knowledge, is it ranked? I mean, for example, is there road number one that would be the first thing worked on next spring? Or maybe group A, the first group that's worked on next spring?
Well, I think it's pretty well ranked. But it's, you know, in the first year, these are the most important ones that just need to be taken care of. Oil and chip, in particular. and then the second year would be the next group. And Marty has been working on that. We don't want to be just putting a bunch of roads down and then not being able to handle that number of roads.
Well, I mean, if you need to, I want a deadline where we can have that plan in some form so that we can discuss it. And like I said, you can tweak it later. I know he's been busy all summer with the road program. Now we've got a little downtime to actually think about this. This would be a good time to start thinking about what we're going to be doing next spring. So,
well, I think the public aspect of it is the most important part of it, because I really think if somebody saw they were in Group B, let's say, I think they could accept that, because it's, you know, once this group's done, they're going to move to my group. I think the problem is most people really have no clue where they fit on the list. Well, you don't either. I mean, so I think the public part of it, you might put some thought into how to, maybe there should be a poster up here at City Hall in one of these that lists the group for people to look at, or the website.
Mm-hmm.
So the more public we make it, the better we are, in my opinion.
And then we got the White Squirrel Count. The last week of that is next Saturday. Linda, do you have any openings?
Yes, I have 7.
Okay, so if anybody is still interested in helping count squirrels next Saturday morning, call City Hall. Christmas parade is coming up.
Yes, it is. I have my first entry.
Okay.
So excited.
Trick or treat night is
October 31st from 6 to 8. Halloween parade is the previous Saturday, Friday, which is the 25th.
31st is a
Thursday.
I'm sorry, trick or treat is when?
Thursday, October 31st.
And then you said the Halloween,
Halloween parade is October 25th. I believe it starts at 6 at the Trust Bank parking lot. Lineup starts at 5.
Parade is at 6.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Councilman, we are, when does the leaf collection start?
Tomorrow.
They're going to start tomorrow.
And the leaf collection will be the day following your regular trash pickup, with an asterisk. That is, we will do it the best we can.
I guess on Friday would be Monday.
Friday will be Monday.
Friday will be, okay. So don't call City Hall because your leaves didn't get picked up. They will work on it. But call Glenn at home, actually. Anything else, Councilman? Motion to go into executive session to discuss sale price of real property.
So moved.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all coming.